Morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with God's people on this day, that we can worship together. And our brother's right, we are no strangers. I've been coming here for a long time, off and on. It's, and I don't know if I ought to say this, but it's one of my favorite places to preach. You enable me to preach. You just seems like you just pull it out. It's a privilege, but it's also humbling to preach from this pulpit, where I know that Paul preaches the gospel to you so faithfully and so powerfully. You know, I listen to Paul often. And God has given you pastor and a preacher, and you're really blessed. You're blessed of God. This morning, I want to make much of the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Many this morning will make much of the miracles, but the miracles of Christ do not save us. It's the blood. It's the blood that saves us. Many will hear this morning about how God wants you to be happy, how God wants you to be wealthy, how God wants you to be healthy, how God wants this, God wants that. But here this morning, we are going to make much of the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. If you want to find Christ, follow the blood trail. You got to follow His blood trail, and you'll find Him. And I realize this morning I am preaching to a blood-bought people. I mean, you are purchased, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. I'm preaching to a blood-bought people, purchased. You're not your own. You're not your own. The Lord bought you. Listen to these scriptures. I want to read them to you. I'm not going to turn to them because it would take us too long. But here in Exodus, in verse 13, and we're going to come back to this chapter 12 here. But, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood..." No mention of works. No mention of works whatsoever. "When I see your repentance..." Repentance doesn't save. It's the result of being saved. "It's the blood that washes away my sins. I find myself almost 50 years later. Almost 50 years since I've heard the gospel and believed. I find myself on a regular basis saying, 'Father, forgive me. Let the blood of Christ be propitiation for my sins.'" You know, God does not forgive me just because I ask Him. He forgives me for Christ's sake. I'm forgiven for Christ's sake because Christ shed His blood for my sins. The reason I have an interest in Jesus Christ at all is because He died for me. And God has given me an interest. That's why I have an interest in Christ. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague of death." You know, the Lord said, "He that believes in me shall not die." The plague of death won't touch you. You're going to fall asleep. You who believe, you're going to fall asleep. And you can wake up in His presence. That's what it's going to be like. "The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." God has given us His blood. His blood. The blood of God. I'll read that to you in a minute. It's the blood of God that He has given, that makes atonement for our souls.
I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It's the blood that makes appeasement to God. It's the blood. In Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins. You can straighten up all you want to. You can straighten up, as the old saying is, straighten up and fly right, which you can't do, but that still won't do it. It's the blood. It's the blood. And it's not just any blood. And it's not my blood. My blood's not going to do anything for me. I can shed my blood. They can nail me to a cross and shed my blood, and it won't save anybody. It won't save me or anybody else. But now listen. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a sprinkling of His blood. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's the efficacy of His blood. It doesn't just cleanse me from my sins up till I believe, and then I repent. No, it's the blood from beginning to end that I have remission, cleansing from all my sins. The sins of ignorance. You know there was an offering for the sins of ignorance? We sin far more than we know. We can't even begin to count how often we sin. We sin enough in this service to send us to hell. If you understand who God is, you understand that statement. Because we can never understand sin until we understand and have some light as to who God is. It's in His light that we see light. It's seeing Him in His holiness and have some idea, an understanding of His holiness, that we have some real understanding of our sinfulness. You know what ungodly is? Christ died for the ungodly. You know what ungodly is? Unlike God. I am so unlike God that there can be nothing else more unlike. God is holy, I'm sin. God is light, I'm darkness. God is love, I'm hate. By nature, isn't it? Aren't we? We sure are. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, Abel's blood cried for vengeance. You know what the blood of Christ cries for? Forgiveness, pardon, mercy. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When He cried that on the cross, I assure you, everyone He prayed that for are forgiven. They were forgiven. And still are forgiven. And still shall be forgiven. Because His blood answers for their sins. The blood of Christ answers for the sins of His people, which are nothing but sinners. Sinners. I have good news for sinners. Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for anybody else. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. Nobody else. Listen to Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. This is Paul when he was leaving Ephesus. He gives these orders to the elders. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now listen to this statement. This is a powerful statement. To feed the church of God, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Who purchased the church? God did with His own blood. That's why He became flesh. That's why God became a man. That He might have the blood to shed and purchase us with His own blood. It's the blood of God. It's not just the blood of a man or a good man. It's the blood of God. Jesus Christ is God. He's a man completely. He's God completely, yet He's one undivided person. He's the God-man. And 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold.
Isn't it something they called, he called that dollar bill in your pocket corruptible things. All that money that people go after is corruptible things. You know, I pull a dollar out of my pocket and look at it sometimes, and I think, what has this bought? What has this dollar been used for? Maybe it was used for a hit. Maybe it was used in a drug deal. Maybe it was used for prostitution. And I'm going to use it to go down the store and buy some bread.
Corruptible things. Silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ. There's none like it. It's the blood of God. None like it. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And now let's go to Exodus 12. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron. Now let me make this point before I go into this. I don't want to forget this. Because this really stood out to me. God said, I'm going to pass. He's not going to send somebody. He's not going to send a representative. God said, I'm doing this. I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And I'm going to kill the firstborn. I mean, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the maid behind the mill, behind the wheel, to the beast of the field. I'm going to kill the firstborn. And this is when God institutes the Passover. And God, now listen, here's the point I want to make. I'm trying to think the best way to say this. God provided a substitute for Israel. He put that blood over the doorpost and over the top of the door. Not on the floor to be walked on, to be trampled on, but on the sides and over the top. But when I read this past week, it jumped out at me. The firstborn in that house where the blood was, where it was applied, was just as guilty as the firstborn in Egypt. Just as guilty. That's why God provided a substitute. You see, where he left Egypt alone, and they met him in justice, in mercy he provided a lamb, in mercy he provided a substitute, for that firstborn, that it would not die because it's just as guilty as the firstborn in Egypt. That's what the Jews didn't understand when Christ came. Those Pharisees didn't understand. They just as guilty. They were just as guilty as the Gentiles. We be not sinners. Well, then Christ didn't die for you. That's what they said to him. We be not sinners. I am. I am. Lord, make me a sinner. Make me to know and see and understand my sinfulness. But God provided a substitute for them. On one hand, it's wrath and justice. On the other hand, it's mercy and grace. And you notice Israel didn't ask for that lamb. God said, this is what I'm going to do. Salvation is what the Lord does, not what you and I do. No, the Israelites, the elders didn't get together and said, let's ask the Lord to provide us a substitute. Let's ask Him to provide us a lamb. They weren't even thinking about it. God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide you a lamb. I'm going to provide a lamb for the firstborn. And I'm not going to touch them. I'm going to pass by. I'm going to pass over you. I'm going to pass over you. So the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. The leaders, he spoke to these leaders, the prophet and the priest. And he says in verse 2, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. I'm going to change your calendar. You know what changed their calendar? You are going to go out from now on. This is going to be your new month, your new year. This is going to... Isn't that the way to start a new year? Your life is going to be different. You're not going to be under the bondage of Egypt anymore. You're going to be under the blood. Even though that was typical blood, and Israel is typical Israel. They were a type of the church. There were some believers in there that made up the church, but most of them didn't believe. There's always tares among the wheat in God's church, always. But this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This is a new life. A new life. You know, my life began when God saved me. That's when my life began. I was born in 1955. In October 11th, 1955. But my life didn't begin until about 23 years later. About 23 years later, I heard the gospel in power. And God gave me faith. God granted me repentance. And that's when my life began. Experiencing real life. And he says here, now, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. This is good news for God's Israel. Who's God's Israel? Everyone who believes. Everyone who feasts and eats the Lamb. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, the Lord said. This is for the whole congregation of Israel. In the 10th day of this month, and you notice how specific God is with timing. There's a time and purpose for everything under heaven. Everything. And it was time for God to give this type of His Lamb. And He gives specific orders how it is to be done. How it is to be observed. Because this represents His Lamb. God's Lamb. And you take it in the 10th day of the month. They shall take them to them a lamb. Every man a lamb. 10th day of the month, every man's going to take a lamb. Every house, every head of the house will take a lamb for that family. You know, God has provided us one lamb. One lamb. We don't take here every man. We don't just take every man a lamb. We have one lamb. It's the lamb of God's providing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the whole church of God, the whole family of God, the whole Israel of God has one lamb. One lamb. And if, now listen, now you take it according to their fathers. The fathers goes out there and he'll take a lamb for his house. And if the household be too little for the lamb. That could be so with a typical lamb, couldn't it? Not so with God's lamb. God's lamb's not too small. Christ is enough. Is Jesus Christ enough? I tell you this, if He's enough for God, He's sure enough for me. He's enough for God. Jesus Christ is enough. In Him you are complete. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's enough. He's not too little. And you let it, if the household's too little for the lamb, tell him to call his neighbor. You see, this is a family. This is for the family. This is for the family. And you tell him to call his neighbor and he come over to your house and you count it according to the number of souls in the house. There's no unnecessary slaying of lambs. They're not just going to go out and kill a bunch of lambs. It was specific. A lamb for a house. And you're going to make your account for the lamb. And there's not going to be any waste. There's not going to be any waste. And here's the lamb. Here's the lamb that you're going to get. Don't go out there and get the sickest one, the oldest one. Don't go out there and do that. God said, your lamb's going to be without blemish. It's going to be the best lamb in the flock. It's got to be the best lamb in the flock. You know what we do by nature, don't you? We go get the one that's about to die and offer it. No, we offer. God's got to have the best. It has to be perfect to be accepted. God said that. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be without blemish. God demands perfection. He demands absolute perfection. And God will not accept anything short of perfection. Jesus Christ is our perfection. The Lamb of God is our perfection. He's our righteousness. It's not only got to be without blemish, it has to be a male of the first year. Why a male? By man, sin entered the world. Sin did not enter the world through a woman. Sin didn't enter the world through Eve. It entered by Adam. You see, it says Eve was deceived, but not Adam.
Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he was rebelling against God. You know, Adam was what you would call a true genius. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was rebelling. And sin entered by a man. And by a man, satisfaction is going to be made. By a man, atonement is going to be made to God's justice. And it can't be by me. It can't be by you because we're too sinful. It's got to be by one with no blemish. Christ knew no sin. He knew no sin. God provided what he demanded. Aren't you glad of that? God Almighty provided what he demanded because what he demanded you and I could not come up with. That rich young ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth up. He didn't keep a one. And the Lord proved it to him when he told him to go sell all he had and give it to the poor. And he couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. God, our Lord exposed the covetousness of his heart. It's got to be without blemish. It has to be a male. It has to be young, of the first year. Our Lord gave up his life in the full strength of life. 33 years of age. That's young. Now that I'm 68, I can look back. That's young. That's young. In the full strength of life, in the full vigor of life, he laid down his life. He didn't die of some disease, defect, or aging. In the full vigor of life, he gave up his life. You see, it's got to be without blemish. It's got to be a male of the first year. And you've got to take it out from the sheep and the goats. Christ was taken from among his brethren. He was one of us. Our elder brother was the lamb. Our elder brother is God's lamb. Our elder brother is our lamb. He was taken from among us. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He became like unto his brethren. And he was taken out from among us and crucified for us. Sacrificed for us. His blood was shed for us. We have the blood of God. We have the blood of our elder brother. The blood of our king is royal blood. And you're going to keep it up until the 14th day. You're going to take it on the 10th day, verse 6, and you're going to keep it up until the 14th day. Why? You're going to observe it. You're going to observe it. You know, I've read the Jews would take and they would tie it to the bedpost for 14 days. I mean, for 4 days. On the 10th day to the 14th day, they'd tie it to the bedpost and look and watch and observe that lamb and see for this purpose, to see if there's any blemish in it because God's not going to accept it. And they observed that lamb for 4 days. Our Lord came into this world as a babe, as a tender plant. He shall grow up before the Lord, it says in Isaiah 53. He grew up before the Lord. He grew up before men. He grew up before Satan. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I have examined this man and talked to him, and I find no fault in this man. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You think, well, you know, if anyone could have found fault in him, it would be God. If it was just a brief thought of sin, he wouldn't be worthy. God would have spotted that. And he couldn't be a lamb. He couldn't be our Passover lamb. But our Lord was so perfect, even down to not even a thought of sin. I can't even imagine that. Satan tried him in the wilderness. Our Lord says, Satan hath come and found nothing in me. Nothing he could sink his teeth into. He finds a lot in me. There's a lot in me and you. Satan could come. And it's so easy. If God allowed him, he could just like pick a card. He can get me. But not Christ. He couldn't find anything in him to get a hold of. Couldn't do it. This is how perfect our lamb is. This is God's lamb. And now listen.
in that same month, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel are going to kill it. It's for the whole Israel of God. It's for the whole Israel of God. Well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have killed him. Well, it's not for you. Because the whole church is going to, he says, is going to kill him. The whole congregation is going to kill this lamb. And when our Lord came in the flesh, who killed him? Who had him put to death? The whole congregation of Israel. They said, crucify him, crucify him. God purposed his death. Because God purposed to save a people and make them just like his son. And he's going to do it through the blood of his son. Through the blood of his son. Bought with the blood of Christ. And then he says here in verse 7, and they shall take of the blood, and they're going to strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts in the houses wherein they shall eat it. Here's faith. Here's the act of faith. God has provided the lamb. God has given the lamb. God has given the instructions. The blood is to be shed. And God says, now, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? We killed the lamb. Isn't that enough? No, there's going to be faith mixed with this. You see, they entered not into the promised land because of what? They didn't believe. It was not mixed with faith. God has ordained, God has purposed that those whom he saved by the blood will believe in Christ whose blood was shed. And you're going to feast on Christ. There are some who believe that election is in and of itself is salvation. It's not. We were chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now you're going to take of the blood, and you're going to strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post. And this is an act of faith. And let me ask you, how real is the blood of Christ to you? How real is Jesus Christ to you? You know, some people say, when the Lord was up on earth, he still is. In you? Christ in you? Is he not still here? Is he not still up on this earth? Is he not omnipresent? Absolutely. Whither shall I flee from his presence? Nowhere. You can't go anywhere from his presence. You see, there's got to be faith. And faith is a gift of God. It's the work of the operation of the Spirit. But I tell you this, it's your faith. Faith's a gift of God. If God gives you faith, he grants you faith. It's yours, isn't it? If I give you a gift, is it yours? Is it yours? But there's got to be the eating of the lamb. Christ said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life. If you don't do it, you have no life in you. You don't have any life. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. That night. Not at a more convenient season. When was it? Felix said, I'll call you at a more convenient season, Paul. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Who said you had tomorrow? This past Wednesday I did a funeral. The Wednesday before that I did a funeral. Who said you had tomorrow? It's always now. We live in the now. God's people live in the now. It's now. Now is the accepted time. And they shall eat. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. God specifically gives you instruction on how this lamb's going to be roasted. It's going to be killed. His blood's going to be shed. His blood's going to be put over the door. And then the body of that lamb is going to be taken into that house, and it's going to be feasted on that night. And here's how you're going to prepare the lamb. You're going to roast it. Christ crucified. We feast on a Christ who's been crucified. Roasted in the fire of God's wrath. He was truly under the wrath of God on that cross. God turned the lights out for 3 hours, and for 3 hours, God went at him. Satan and men had their turn first. They whipped him to where his visage was beyond recognition. His visage was so marred more than any man, Isaiah 52. And then God went at him. God took that sword of justice out of its sheath. And for 3 hours, it was just him and the Lamb. And for 3 hours, God went at him. I mean with vengeance. I mean with absolute vengeance. God went at him and executed upon him what you and I deserve. We couldn't even watch that. He didn't even let us watch that. This is between God the Father and God the Lamb. And this is the Lamb being sacrificed. This is the Lamb being poured out. His soul was made an offering for sin. That's what's going on. And you tell me that Jesus Christ did that for everybody and there's some people in hell for whom he died? I had a preacher tell me that Christ died for Judas as well as Peter. You tell me he shed the blood for Judas and Judas perished? That's impossible. That's impossible. That blood was shed that justice be satisfied. And if justice is satisfied, he can't condemn. That's double jeopardy. God would be more of a crook than me dying if he did that. But he didn't do that. For 3 hours, justice was taken out on him. And then God turned the light back on. It's over. It's finished. It's finished. Christ cried out on the cross, "It's finished. Redemption price has been paid. My people have been paid for. They're bought and paid. You are bought and paid for. I can't even destroy that. If I could, I would. But I can't do it. God made salvation so secure in Christ that you and I can't even mess it up. We can't mess it up. Oh, my soul. They're going to eat it. They're going to eat it in the house where the blood is. You know, if you don't eat it, there's no salvation. Because God has made it that way. He's made it that way. You know, I'm sure most of you all watched, I know you older ones have, the Ten Commandments. Remember that? Was it Joshua and Miriam? Well, I think her name was Miriam. I think the Potiphar, whichever that governor was, he took her to his house, and Joshua slips up her at nighttime and puts the blood over the door, you know, and then leaves. That ain't going to save anybody. That's not going to save anybody. The blood was to be put on the door where the lamb was eaten. It wasn't just going down the road putting blood on the door, blood on the door, blood on the door. It was put on the door where the lamb was eaten, where he was feasted on. They'll eat it that night, and that same night, and it's going to be roasted with fire. It's got to be unleavened bread. It's got to be sincerity. It's got to be sincerity. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw, half cooked. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you order a steak. My grandson, good night. He orders it with on the hoof. I mean, it's raw. I can't even hardly look at it. He likes that. Oh, I want it rare. I'm like, not me. I don't want it rare. You know, you order it this way, you order it that way. God said, no, Christ is not going to be how you and I order him up. It's God's way. It's God's way. He's going to be crucified. Now, you're going to eat and continually eat a crucified Christ, or you're going to go to hell. You're going to perish with the Egyptians. That's what he's saying. Don't eat any of it raw. And don't you sodden it with water. Don't you try to make it taste better. Don't try to make the gospel taste better. Don't try to make the gospel appeal to a bunch of rebels. Preach it as it is. The way God gave it. Keep it like God gave it. And don't you sodden it down. Don't you water it down. But you roast it with fire. And listen, you roasted the whole lamb with head, his legs, and his pertinence, his innards. You take the whole lamb and roast it. You know, in other sacrifices, they would sacrifice it and they'd cut the kidneys out, cut the gall out. I mean, they'd do different. Not this one. Not this one. You don't even break a leg of it. It's a whole Christ we eat. We receive Christ as he's revealed in the scriptures. We're not alone. And you'll leave nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning, and like I'm sure the bones, you burn it with fire. You're not going to make an idol out of it. Don't take it with you. Don't take that lamb with you and believe and think that this is the one that saved us that night. Types don't save. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. It didn't save them. It's the real that saves. It's Christ that saves. The types don't save. If you miss Christ in the types, you're in trouble. If you hang on to the types, you're in trouble. He says, don't you leave any of it remain until the morning. Don't you waste it. Don't you waste it. This is precious. This is the precious Lamb of God. And here's how you're going to eat it. With your loins girded, sober-minded, shoes on your feet, ready to leave here. Don't get comfortable now. We spend a lifetime trying to get comfortable, don't we? Oh, we like to drive a comfortable car. We like to live in a comfortable home. We like to wear comfortable clothes. And he said, don't you get comfortable. You're not staying here. You put your shoes, don't kick your feet. Don't take your shoes off. That's how they used to do it I probably still do it over there. They'd take the shoes off and a servant would wash their feet and they'd sit down. That's the way they sat down. They'd lay down and eat. He said, don't you do that. You're not staying here. You're pilgrims. This is a journey for us. Don't drive your tent pegs too deep. That's what makes dying so hard. The only thing that makes dying so hard is we drive them too deep. We drive the tent pegs too deep. Your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. That's right, the Word of God in your hand and in your heart. You be ready to leave. And you eat it in haste, now. Eat it now, as I'm standing here reading to you. Feast on Christ now. Because it's the Lord's Passover, He ain't coming back. He's passing over. You know, the Lord's only in certain places for a little while. And it may seem like a long while to us, but to Him it's just a little while. It's a Passover. He's passing over. And I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, man and beast, against the gods, the princes of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token. I'm going to wind this up. A distinguishing mark. A distinguishing token. Upon the houses where you are. It's a token. It's an evidence of redemption. It's an evidence of judgment. Judgment's already visited this house. Judgment's already been here. Justice's already been executed on this house in the substitute, in the Lamb. It's an evidence of acceptance. You're not going to die. He said the plague will not be upon you. It was upon that Lamb. It was not on you. And you're safe. It's an evidence of being safe because he said, I'll pass over you. If you are under the blood of Jesus, God said, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That word also means leap over you. I'll leap over you. The sword of justice has already been here. It's not going to come again. It's not coming again. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. That's what we're doing again today. Remembering the Lamb. We do this every time we preach. Remembering the Lamb. Remembering how God delivered us from sin, Satan, the law, and soon to be this world. Soon to be. The plague will not be upon you. And in 7 days, I'm going to close with this. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day till the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's why he said you don't eat leaven. You eat this with sincerity and truth. This is serious business. This is serious business. This is God's lamb. This is God's lamb typified. Now look over and just, and I close with this. In John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, capital L, which taketh away the sin of the world, Gentiles as well as Jews. His blood, the blood of this Lamb, is effectual, it's efficacious. It's for sinners. It's for us who believe. Make much of the blood. Make much of the blood. All of our messages should have a blood trail to it. All right.